Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the third Sunday in Lent comes from our gospel reading of Luke. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." Thus far the text. What keeps you lying awake in the middle of the night? Struck from a restless sleep, not to find peaceful slumber again as the light peeks in through the curtains? Is it the gospel? The forgiveness of sins? Is that what keeps your mind racing and your body turning from side to side? I doubt it. These are the things that allow a man to close his eyes without care or concern, sleeping like a baby until the alarm clock goes off. No, if you're anything like me, it's the things of the law that steal away the hours of the night. What is to become of this treacherous world with the wars breaking out and rumors of wars becoming ever more plausible? Are the bills going to be paid today? What about tomorrow? Are family squabbles going to escalate into giant affairs that can never be rectified? The cares and worries of the sinful man always harken back to the deafening sound of retribution. When and how are the proverbial chickens going to come home to roost? That's what we care about. That's usually all that we care about. And the crowd was concerned about this very thing in our text for today, too. They wanted to know what Jesus thought of all those Galileans whose blood was mingled during that Passover feast with all of their sacrifices. Had those Galileans committed some terrible crime and finally met their end, just like they were supposed to? What about Pilate? Was he going to be held account for this treacherous deed of defiling the temple and their most sacred of holy days? But Jesus doesn't answer the way that they want him to. Instead, he just turns the table and lays before them a word of repentance. He then brings up another tragedy, because a tower has fallen. And 18 people are dead now, and it would be impossible to find fault in that scenario, wouldn't it? Maybe it was poor workmanship, but who could ever know? And maybe it was just some fluke accident, a strong gust of wind, a small trembling beneath the foundation, but again, who could ever say? And we don't like that. We want to be able to lay the blame somewhere, on someone, because that's what makes sense. But Jesus says nothing in regard to that, does he? He just, again, harkens back to repentance. And remember, repentance ends in forgiveness. And perhaps that's how we all should go about our life when we see all of the mindless tragedies out there or the freaks of nature that happen. And we want to be able to make sense of them all. Line up the subsequent reasons why every single thing happens. We want to be able to point the finger and we want to be able to lay the blame, because at least then, at the end of the day, when we're trying to sleep at night, things can make sense and we can know that the innocent people aren't suffering for no reason whatsoever. But Jesus doesn't allow us to go this way. Instead, he just calls us to repentance, because we live in a world that's fallen. And there's broken things all around us. And death comes. And sometimes death comes unexpectedly, without warning. And when the tower comes crumbling down, it isn't really going to matter if we cry out, "But this isn't fair." Seeing a fire rage across the plains up north, or watching a war unfold a million miles away, should only lead the sinner to go back inward for repentance. Because, ere but the grace of God, there go I. But this rarely happens with us. Retribution is too much more on our mind. Things happen for a reason. They all happen for a reason. And evil must be paid for. That's why we lie awake in bed, going over every single scenario that we can figure out. And that's what has us recounting each and every single aspect of each and every single situation, making sure that we know where the blame should be laid, making sure that it maybe isn't on us or maybe it's on somebody else. It doesn't matter as long as the retribution gets played out. That's what the people in our text wanted. They wanted to know why those people were dead. Whose fault was it? And sometimes it just isn't anybody's. But we don't like that. The sinner only wants to look at the law. He wants to look to the law so that the law fixes every single problem, so that the law makes everything right. The law needs to be the thing that holds everyone into account. The law needs to damn those who need to be damned. The sinner wants Jesus to make sense out of all of this stuff, every scenario that we can find, everything that happens in this world of ours, and he wants him to do it with the law so we can just stand there at the end of the day and everything just makes sense and it's packaged up in a nice little bow. That's why the sinner is so keen on using the law. We like to do it. We like to use it to justify our own actions. And then we like to use the law to point the finger and make retribution for those who are against us. How blind we are to the gospel. Me included. And Jesus confuses everyone then, even more with that little parable, right after he says all of this sort of stuff that's confusing in and of itself. About that fig tree that should be cut down, because that's what makes sense. And there it stands in the owner's vineyard, and it's just taking up space that's only meant for the good trees. And you know the type. You know what good trees are. They're the one that produce fruit, a lot of it. But there it stands, year after year, fruitless and pointless and worthless. If we could call a tree evil, that would be an evil tree. Because trees like that only deserve one thing. And so the owner goes to the vine dresser. And he says the exact same thing that's on all of our minds. Because this one's obvious. There's no ambiguity here. Everyone knows where the blame is to be laid. It's right there on the tree. The tree deserves it. And everyone knows exactly what should happen to this tree. Cut it down and throw it in the fire. Because this isn't some decorative tree. And it's not a tree for a present that we planted in memory of a loved one. No, this is a tree that's in a vineyard. And trees in vineyards only have one job to do. They're there to produce fruit. If no fruit is to be found, then it must be cut down. That's retribution at its finest, but it's fair, and we all like that. The law demands it. And so that's the very thing that we expect in this parable. But Jesus, he says differently, doesn't he? Because here comes this foolish vine dresser pleading on behalf of a tree that he should care absolutely nothing about. And he's going to care for it. He's going to give it the care and concern that it doesn't deserve. He's going to work on it and provide for it, and he's going to tenderly love it when he should just turn his head and go back to his tool shed and start sharpening up his axe. Because everyone knows that this is going to be futile. If the tree hasn't produced fruit in the last 3 years, there's no reason why anyone should expect that this tree is going to produce fruit in the fourth year, no matter how much it's cared for. But there will be no axe for this tree, not this year. And the year to come, if it produces fruit, well and good. And if it doesn't, you can cut it down. Notice what the vine dresser says there. You can cut it down. The vine dresser isn't going to be the one to cut it down. He's going to care for it and tend it. And he's going to prune it and love it, but he's not going to kill it. He's not going to chop it down. And that's the second strange thing that we hear in our text in this parable. Because everyone thinks that that's the vine dresser's job. He's the one that should cut this worthless tree down, but he won't. If you want to cut it down, he says to the man, then fine. But I'm not going to. I give life. That's all I do. Now, we would do well to understand the context of a reading for today. Last week, we read things a little bit out of order, and we heard the last half of Luke chapter 13. And it was there that Jesus was encouraged to run away from all of his troubles in order to save his own skin, because Herod was going to kill him. So he must leave Jerusalem in order to escape this sentence of death that's been laid down upon him. But he astounds everyone and says that this is the very only reason why he's going to go to Jerusalem. He will continue on his way today and tomorrow, and then on the next day he will accomplish his course. Jesus is going to Jerusalem for the express purpose of dying, and he isn't going to run from that. And he's going to make his way to the place where they kill all of the prophets, because he's the greatest of all of them. And he's going to go there to die for sinners. Sinners who can't produce any fruit. That fig tree isn't going to be cut down. It isn't going to be destroyed like it should be. The tree is going to live for one more year, because that year will bring that tree past the day of the crucifixion. Jesus isn't going to cut down the sinner, no matter how much that sinner deserves to be cut down. And let's be honest, we all know how much the sinner deserves to be cut down. But Jesus says, no, I will not cut him down. I will bring him to the cross, to the place of retribution. Do you want to see where the sinner's sin is paid for? You want to know how that sin is going to get its just deserts and receive all of the retribution for everything that it deserves? Good. Look at the cross. That's where the retribution for sin is. Your sin and my sin, the one we try to justify. Your neighbor's sin too. The one that we use the law to cut them down with. The only man who's going to receive the fullness of the law that should be for the sinner is Jesus. He's going to be the fig tree that's cut down. And you're going to be the fig tree that lives for one more year, past that day of crucifixion, past the day when the retribution is paid in full. And then it isn't even a question of whether or not you'll produce fruit, because you will. The cross makes it impossible for you not to, because the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of the law that you couldn't hope to keep, done completely and perfectly in him. Sin atoned for, all of it, your sin and mine. And that makes it possible for us to see our fellow fig trees in the light of the cross. No longer do we have to wring our hands around the axe of the law waiting for an opportunity to swing it. Instead, we can just live as an undeserved but cared for, pruned and forgiven fig tree, just like we are, looking at all the trees around us, the trees planted right next to us in this very vineyard, knowing that Jesus isn't going to cut anyone down. And so tonight, as you lie awake in bed and sleep doesn't seem to come as easily as you hoped it would, don't turn your eyes to the law. The law's not going to do you any good. Instead, hear the word of the gospel of your Lord for you, because he made his way to the cross. Law fulfilled, all of it. Sin atoned for it. All of it. He isn't going to cut you down, your neighbor either. He couldn't. He's been cut down for you. In the name of Jesus.